Welcome to another episode of the Marriage Mentor Podcast with Eric and Jolene Engel, where Eric and Jolene answer marriage questions for believers, looking at the root of the problem instead of the symptom, always while applying God's wisdom and word for a Christ-centered marriage.
Hi, I'm Eric Engel, here with my wonderful, fantastically beautiful wife. Stop laughing. You laugh every time I say that. I don't know why you do that. For another episode of The Marriage Mentor. Now, in this episode, we have Reed who called in, and we're just going to listen to what he has to say, and then we're going to comment on that. So go ahead and play it.
Hi. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm having problems with my wife, my marriage, and I'm sure most of the problems lie with me. I've been married for over 35 years. Last 10 years, my wife and I have not been intimate at all. We've been at war. I love my wife to death. I know I haven't been the best husband in the world. I think I've been a good father, self-employed, trying to run my own business, trying to help everyone that I can. It seems that no matter what I do for my wife, it's not enough. I don't feel neglected necessarily, but I would like to be a little bit more understood. I try to talk to my wife. She doesn't listen. She avoids me. Thinking she has an affair. I have no reason to think that she should, but there has to be a reason why we don't have sex for 10 years plus. It's ridiculous. I find myself loaned money to her family and a problem. I think she resents me for that. Because they still owe me money after 30 years. It's causing some pressure in our marriage for sure. I love my kids. I have a son and a daughter. Grown now. One still lives at home. But my wife uses her as an excuse every time we try to talk that she doesn't want her to hear. And so we can never talk anything out. Try to go for a drive and talk to her. She doesn't want to hear it. She blah, 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 and on like she is closing me out. I don't know what to do. It's pretty obvious that she wants nothing else to do with me anymore. I do have my share of problems. I'm no saint, there's no doubt. And I'm not blaming anyone for it. I just would like to know what to do. Thanks for your time.
Oh, that just broke my heart.
Okay, so here, you know, just to kind of summarize that again, he's been married 35 years. His wife doesn't want to have anything to do with him. They haven't been intimate for the last 10 years.
Right.
He says he loves her. But something is interesting. He says he loves her, and he hasn't been perfect, but he thinks he's been a good father. Okay, and I'm going to touch on some of these things. And then there's issue with money, with the family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so the least important I'm going to address first, which is the money with the family. Forget the money. It's gone. Don't talk about it again. Be done with it. The money's gone. It's done.
Yes. However, from a female standpoint, he said what, 35 years?
35 years.
35 years. Let me talk to a young wife for a minute.
But he loaned money to her family.
Right.
Okay.
I thought he said her family.
Right.
But even if it was his.
Okay.
Let me talk to the young wife that's listening in right now. And any husbands that are listening in, wives crave financial security. Okay. Now here's what I found interesting, that this man is self-employed. I'm like, oh, I know what it's like to be married to a self-employed man. And I know what it's like to go through financial famine. Okay. So I know from firsthand experience how a wife has to run to the Lord as her provider. Okay. Now, it almost sounded like this woman many years ago, she didn't do that. You know, she was struggling. She was drowning. And instead of leaning in closer to her husband, she blamed him, you know. And he's like wanting to do whatever he can to fix the marriage. And it's just like this wife's heart is hard.
Well, and who knows what else has
right
transpired during that 35 years. Okay, because he says he's not been perfect or whatever. Well, that could be the understatement of the year for all we know. Okay. So obviously her heart is hard, and
right,
she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And so, you know, the advice I'm going to give might sound trite, but it's true and it's right. And the advice I would give is you need to wipe the slate clean. You need to go back to the Lord. You need to become the man that God wants you to be. Okay, in spite of however your wife feels about you, in spite of what's going on with anything else, you need to become the man that God wants you to be.
Hey, let me interject something right there, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
That advice that you just gave should apply to women as well. Be the wife that God is calling you to be. Regardless of any marital issues that you have or not, every single day you should be wiping the slate clean to have that thriving marriage. You do the part that God has asked you to do in your marriage. Let the Holy Spirit intercede in your spouse's heart. Okay.
Great advice.
Anyways.
Great. Well, but ultimately, we talked about in the past how we point the finger at each other, saying, "Oh, it's her, it's him," and maybe he's not doing that, but he has to go all the way back to the beginning and become the type of husband that a wife would love.
Right.
Okay. And that this wife would love. Now, she's terribly hurt and closed off, and they haven't been intimate for 10 years. God can repair that.
Absolutely.
He certainly can. But if this guy's just going to be the same guy he's been, whatever he's done, however he's acted, then things aren't going to change. And so he needs to, in spite of however she treats him, even if she's completely wrong.
Right.
Okay. He needs to ignore that and go back to the Lord and, in spite of her, become the man that God wants him to be. Now, once he gets right with the Lord, then he's in a position to where he can...
Let me ask you something. Sorry.
What, yeah.
What does getting right with the Lord look like? Imagine that there's a listener who is a new believer and they're like, what does that term mean?
Well, it starts with repentance.
Okay.
Okay. Even for the believer,
right,
we have to repent of our sins daily.
Right.
Okay. And it starts with repentance. It starts with humility. It starts with getting into the Word, because if you don't know the Word and you aren't in the Word, then situations are going to come up. How's he going to act?
Right.
He doesn't know how to act.
He asks the Lord for forgiveness. He has a humble heart. And based on the message he left, my heart broke and I saw some humility there. But he has to go to the Lord. We're not the Lord.
It's got to be Lord humility. It can't be self-humility. Right. I mean, let me explain that. I mean, it can be like, oh, well, I've been wrong and but no one's perfect. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, God, I'm rotten.
Right.
And only you can do a work here. Only you can make me anything worthwhile.
So a surrendered heart.
Surrendered, absolutely.
Okay, so have a surrendered heart, have a repentant heart.
Right.
Do that with the Lord. Then what?
Right. Then he needs to start from the beginning, and he needs to go back to his wife, and he needs to apologize to her. And he can do that right up front. That's part of that repentant heart.
Right.
And she might say, you know, forget you.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't matter. It's something that he's got to do. Now that he's right with the Lord and walking with the Lord, then he can approach his wife and start from the beginning. And what I mean is, he's apologized and he says, look, I just want to spend time with you. That just means coffee or, you know, going out to lunch or whatever.
So does he try and have a deep conversation right there, or does he try and just find out about his wife?
He just starts from the beginning.
Right.
You don't start in with deep conversations.
No.
Hey, we just met and let's have this deep conversation.
Right. So when you say start over, here's what I'm trying to connect the dots to the listener, male or female, because you might be a wife listening in and your husband may have a hard heart. Okay. He may be holding the grudge. He may not be forgiving you. So if you are at that place, whether you're married 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, always go back in your mind. This is what I try and do in my marriage today. And in a few weeks, we'll be married 18 years. But I try and go back in my mind to when Eric and I were dating and the grace was easy and the forgiveness was easy. And can I still apply those things today? Or can I still be a woman who is interested in your heart today, even though I've seen all your shortcomings? Okay, so as a man, can he just sit with his wife and get to know his wife? Is that what you're saying?
I am, but if she allows it.
Right.
She might not allow
she
it.
She might not.
Okay? And if that's the case, then he needs to just dwell there with as much understanding as he can.
Right.
And it might take time. Okay? I remember a pastor saying that once he got saved, it took his family 2 years to actually believe that he was really changed. Because right. they didn't believe it.
Right.
Okay? He actually wanted to kill him.
So what can this man do? I mean, in my opinion, he could win her back if she's open to it.
So if she's open to it, what does that mean? I mean, how do you know if she's open to it? What? You're a woman.
I am a woman. That's right.
The best one I know.
Hey, now.
And how's that going to work? Talk to me from a woman's standpoint.
Well, the woman obviously struggled in the marriage all these years. And like most women, we hold on to it. And the seeds of bitterness start to grow. And the next thing you know, there's all these weeds of bitterness now infesting our heart and our marriage. And the love has been choked out. Okay. So what can she do? She has to at least go with him somewhere. If I were the guy, here's what I'd want. I'd want to have just a lighthearted, let's go to dinner. Let's make things simple. Let's laugh again. She's probably not laughing. She's probably dead inside. Here's what I'd want to see as a woman who was really struggling. If she appreciates flowers. Now, I'm a frugal gal, so for me, it would be really hard to receive the flowers, but I'd know, oh, wow, he's really thinking of me. You know, you're not coming at me addressing the major issues in the marriage. You're just trying to soften my heart. And basically, I'm making the choice as to whether or not I'm going to let you in inch by inch. And, oh, you know, one day you write a card to me how, oh, you know, you made me smile, you made me laugh. All lighthearted. It's got to be lighthearted because she's not wanting to deal with the issue because in her mind, there is no hope for the marriage. Okay? But we know that God could transform and redeem any marriage, and there's no marital problem too big that Jesus Christ cannot come in and take care of and restore. So if he goes back to 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and it's kind. Okay? It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor. What are those little things that you could do? What are those little things that you did when you were dating her?
Well, and you bring up a great point because what people think that love is this feeling or I don't feel loved or whatever. Look, love is an action.
Right.
Okay. And so if he might not feel loved, but he needs to love her, and that means that he treats her in a way of love. It doesn't mean that he might not have feelings either for her, but it doesn't matter. You could bring any person in here right now and I could show them love and I don't even have to know them.
Right.
So love is an action. I think that's really important for people to understand. If the action is there and the action is done, feelings will follow.
Right.
But the action has to be there. And so what are the things? You talked about the things that he could do. I mean, they could be things. Simple things.
Simple. He could cook her a meal without saying a word. He could vacuum. You know, what's her love language? He may not even know that. It might be quality time. It might be words of affirmation. It might be service or gifts. You know, I know that it's obviously not physical touch because they haven't had any sexual intimacy. But, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is the DARE challenge or the DARE book. And it was like a 40-day thing. And there's something actionable that he could do during that. Taking that challenge, and he should research it, Google it, pull it up on Amazon, and do something kind for her once a day for the next 30 days or whatever it is.
Well, and sometimes the kindest things are the daily things.
Right.
Okay? He might make dinner and just say, hey, I made this.
Right.
And that's it. Right. Not expect a thank you, not expect anything. Okay? But she's paying attention.
Oh, she's so watching. You know, and I certainly wouldn't address the issues because he's tried to address it and she has shut down. And now I would just try and win her over by his conduct. You know, and here's the deal. You do your part. You do what God is putting on your heart to do for her. And she might just throw it right back in your face. And if you do, if that's the case, you just zip it up. Don't say a word and still keep trying to love her. And then maybe at some point you could ask her, what does she want out of this marriage? Because for the most part, women don't want horrible marriages. Neither do men. Okay. But they don't know how to fix it. Right. Okay. So take the baby steps and try and win her over. Get right with God first. Apologize to her second, whether she accepts your apology or not, have a heartfelt apology, and then live your life in a way where you're pouring out love upon her and in the hopes that her heart will soften.
Well, and the reason he has to treat her this way is not for her.
No.
It's for the Lord.
Right.
Okay? He's called to act a certain way based on being a believer and acting like Jesus, in spite of how she treats him.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether it works or not. Okay.
Because he's got more of a chance of it working this way than the other way.
Right. But it's not a ploy. It's not like, oh, here's a formula. Do this stuff and then it'll all work out. It doesn't matter. Even if it never works out, we're still called to be obedient.
Right.
No matter what.
And a thriving, vibrant marriage, the husbands will cherish the wives. So what he didn't do for the first 35 years... doesn't need to define the next 35 years of his marriage. He could walk in the type of ways that God would want him to do in cherishing his wife, and that's to love her like Christ loved the church. The man is to lay down his life for her. And obviously, the ideal thing is for then the woman to respect her husband. Okay, so that's not happening today, but do your part. You know, whether you're a man or woman listening to this, I'm called to do my part according to what the Bible says to me as a wife, and my husband's, you know, called to do his part.
Right. I think the last thing I just had a kind of a question about, she uses the excuse of, oh, her daughter will hear so they can't have conversation. Well, you know, that's just an excuse, but I'm just wondering, they've been together 35 years. How old is this daughter?
Right.
Okay, she's not young.
Right. He said that they were grown adults, but here's what breaks my heart, that women can't see. When we tighten up our heart and we put up that wall, we don't want to let our men in, we're in essence teaching our children what type of marriage to have based on the marriage that we're portraying. Okay. Right. So if I sat down with this wife, I'd say, hey, you got to get over the hurt. You got to get over the pain and all the disappointments, because I know what she wants. She wants that beautiful marriage, and she wants the beautiful marriage for her children.
Well, you know, I was at a pizza place the other day, and they had these quotes on the wall. And one great quote was from John Wooden, who was a basketball coach. And he said something to the effect of the best thing a father can ever do for his children is love their mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Love her well or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But that's a great, great thought, because that sets a stage for their life as well and their marriage.
Right. Anyone listening to this, please know that in any marriage, whatever the state, male or female, you can't change the spouse. You could only change you. And when the change comes, when the Holy Spirit brings the change in you, and out of your obedience to the Word, and as He's molding you and transforming you, your spouse will take notice.
Well, and as you stand before the Lord, He's not going to say, hey, where were you wronged? Tell me where you were wrong. Right. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you?
Right, right.
Okay.
Love her according to the Scripture, and be that man or woman that God is calling you to be in spite of what your spouse does or doesn't do with it. So those are my thoughts.
Those are great thoughts, as always.
I'm Jolene Engel, here with my husband Eric, and we will see you next time.